The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Another record year for divorce applications, as the numbers filed went up 11% on the previous record of 5,220, which was set in 2020. To get some reaction to this, I'm joined now by family law solicitor Keith Walsh. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, 5,856 divorce applications up on 5,220 set in 2020. Is there a particular reason for this?
Well, I think the main reason is that on the 1st of January 2020, the law changed as a result of the referendum introduced by Josepha Madigan, which was to reduce the waiting time for divorce from 4 years to 2 years. So that change came in 2020. So there was a whole range of people who hadn't been eligible for divorce who could now take up and apply for divorce in 2020, if you like. And then those figures were reflected also in 2021. So we've seen a huge increase both in 2020, and these figures relate to 2021 last year. So we can see that that's the main reason for them. But there also seems to be a general increase in levels of divorce just apart from that as well.
Now, in Ireland, there's no such thing as a quickie divorce. So you've got to be apart now under the new regime for two of the previous 3 years. Prior to Josepha Madigan's change, it was four out of the previous 5 years, and people were thinking, you know, 4 or 5 years is a hell of a long time just to sort out your affairs.
It absolutely is, and I mean, that's before you even start the process. So you have to be living separate and apart currently for 2 years before you start the court process. So you're hopefully sorting out your affairs, but you may not be if there's a dispute. And particularly if you want to start a family and have a new relationship, 2 years is a good while to wait, but 4 years is an incredibly long time. But obviously that arose from remember back in 1996, the divorce referendum only passed by the narrowest of margins, and it was felt that if it wasn't a 4 year waiting period at that point, it wouldn't have passed. But society has changed so much since the mid 90s in Ireland that I think there's a great case to be made for it to be reduced now from 2 years apart out of the previous three to one out of the previous two, because I think that would allow people to move on with their lives. And I think when I started doing this work in the late 90s, people almost apologised coming into the office to talk about separation and divorce, and they often hadn't told their friends and family, and there was a stigma associated with it. Thankfully, in the last 10 to 12, 15 years maybe, particularly the last 10 years, that's all blown away. So it's now okay in society to be separated or divorced, and it's regarded as, rightly so, as just something that happens and relationships don't work out, and that's okay. So I suppose from that point of view, separation and divorce has been normalised, which is probably a reason why the numbers are growing. But
And interesting, women want out more than men, 60-40.
At least, yeah, certainly that's exactly it. And I think certainly what you see is wives seem to be a bit more inclined to push things on and not to live with the status quo when the relationship has ended. They're not necessarily the ones who are ending the relationship, but they're certainly the ones who want to regularise it and to move things on. And the status quo may not suit them. But also, I suppose in some ways, the perception, and it's quite a correct one, is that usually the wife, where there's only one house, the wife and children will generally be left in the house. It's quite rare if there's a wife and children that the husband will stay in the house and the wife will leave. So maybe it's a bit like turkeys voting for Christmas as well. Maybe husbands aren't starting because they know as soon as they start this process, the ultimate result of it, particularly where there's only one house, will be that they leave the house. So that could be a factor maybe as well.
Yeah. So they're reluctant to impoverish themselves perhaps. Now, interesting, 13.5% drop in applications for judicial separation. This is where people can live apart and so on and so forth, but they're not divorced. What is the point of judicial separation?
Well, say you have a fairly contentious breakdown where you can't agree anything and you're not living 2 years apart. Judicial separation provides some fault grounds. Unlike divorce in Ireland, we've no fault divorce, but judicial separation, you can apply to the court for assistance or for relief for maintenance, for property adjustment orders, for maybe a freezing order if there's a danger of money's been taken away. You can do that if you have a fault ground, which would be adultery, or your spouse has behaved in such a way that it would be unreasonable for you to be expected to live with them, or if you're just 1 year living apart. So it gives you a range of options to go to court. Otherwise, you could go in a piecemeal way to court. So it's very useful to have an alternative to divorce where you're not eligible for divorce. So it's a very useful thing to have. You only need to use it in very extreme circumstances, yeah, or certain circumstances.
In other words, you want out, but you haven't fulfilled the waiting period, and you need to sort things out now. You want to be apart, and this allows for that. It's kind of exactly while you're waiting for a divorce, in theory. Now, we used to hear a lot, Keith, about nullity, and there is still the concept of legal nullity. Does anyone ever go for that? Because I'm suspecting that the reason you would, to say I was never married to that person, it might be about assets, you know, that you, because there is a division of assets with judicial separation, with divorce. But if you were never married, there presumably would be no entitlement.
That's exactly it. But interestingly, the cohabitation, the civil partnership and cohabitation law was passed in 2010, and that allows people who aren't married to claim against their unmarried partners. So even if you succeed in a nullity now, you probably are going to face a cohabitation action. Now, cohabitation hasn't been tested that much in the courts, but generally where a wife, as a rule of thumb, may sometimes get half or a bit less of the assets, a cohabitant would probably get maybe a third or a bit less than that. So a nullity, it doesn't have the same effect. But also, remember, one of the other reasons why people used to go for nullities was the religious reason. From a Catholic point of view, if your marriage is nullified, and you would also have to get the church nullity as well, you might be able to get married in a church. So there may have been reasons. But again, remember, where you have children, it isn't really, it's going to be very difficult for you to say to the children, look, our marriage never happened. So the nullities are always relatively rare, but they're like hen's teeth at the minute.
Now the idea of thinking of cohabitants as, say, you know, young people who are sharing an apartment they brought together, and therefore the spoils have to be divided. There are so many people who have children, who families, who have never bothered these days to, you know, tie the knot legally, and they are cohabitants.
Exactly. And there's a huge number of people out there. And I mean, the Child and Family Relationships Act, which was passed in 2015, has recognised the non-marital family, non-marital parents, and various other kind of blended family structures. So the Cohabitant Act, when it was brought in 2011, was one of the most progressive laws all across Europe, and it's still far more progressive than England and Wales. So if you're a cohabitant, you don't have to get married, but you do have to be living together as man and wife, if you like, or as partners, for more than 2 years if there's children, or for more than 5 years if there are no children. Okay. But also, if one of the parties are still married, but they were entitled to a divorce, you can still qualify as a cohabitant. And also, you have rights if your cohabitant dies. People don't often know about this, but if your cohabitant dies, you have to apply to court within 6 months, and you may get something from their estate, even though they may not have left anything in a will, or they may have been married still to someone else. Yeah. So it's really helpful, and it prevents kind of unfairness, I think. So it's a very...
Sure. And
very
if something happens, someone dies in an accident, for instance, dies prematurely, never having made a will, there could be a gross injustice visited without this provision, but the fact that it's there means that no injustice might be done. Some of the questions coming in ask Keith why so many court hearings get moved or delayed in the area of divorce and child access. My situation took a lot longer and cost a lot more than it should have.
Well, the way the courts work, and particularly in family law, is that more cases are listed than could possibly be dealt with by the court, because quite a lot of cases settle on the steps of court. And that's the way, it's kind of a bit like the Ryanair principle, where they overbooked flights, that's how the courts work, that they often put more cases in the hope, and generally it's correct that most cases will settle. It's not too bad in Dublin, where you kind of specialist family courts, but outside Dublin, where you have these what are called circuits, and the circuit court for separation and divorce, and then district court days for family law, there's huge number of cases listed, and quite right off and you could be bounced back and back. But remember, the Family Courts Bill, which was published, the heads, 2 years ago, last year, they're going to provide for specialist family courts. And I think since COVID, we've seen listing at particular times of cases, and that has helped cases get on. So, I agree with the caller on that.
Question, what about getting joint access? I want to see my kids more than every Wednesday and every second weekend.
The courts are generally amenable, particularly in that, I'm sure that's the dad who's talking, that the courts are generally amenable to more access where people step up and say, I want more access, and you need to get your time in front of a judge to explain that and to say that. If possible, again, there's mediation. There's loads of alternative dispute resolution that are available, particularly in the district court, but in all courts, to try and negotiate. But, I mean, it sounds to me this is someone who maybe is at the end of the line with negotiation and needs to get the judge. But certainly you should be getting more access.
Final question. Is mediation worth trying? I want to try it. My husband is adamant on separation.
Mediation is absolutely worth trying. It's quicker, it's cheaper, it's more effective. I'm a mediator as well, and what I advise people is always get legal advice before you go to mediation so you know what a good deal is. There's no point in getting the legal advice after mediation. Find out what your rights are, find out what the range of a good deal is. See, can you do the deal yourself? And if you can do the deal yourself with a good mediator, you're going to save a huge amount of money, you're going to do it quicker, and you may do it better because you tailor the solution, not somebody else. So I'm a huge fan and advocate for mediation. I think it's a great idea.
Keith Walsh, family law solicitor. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.